Jim McGovern, I think one of the things that many of us are thinking about these days is rail safety. And now we hear that people throw things at trains, and that could be in part responsible for this terrible tragedy we saw in the Philadelphia-New York run. Are we putting the money we need into all of this? Are we doing what we need to do?
No. That's the short answer. The fact of the matter is that it's not just our rail service. Our roads and our bridges, all of our transportation infrastructure is crumbling. It's aging. It's getting old. And we're not putting the money in to upgrade the infrastructure or improve it where necessary. And so we'll have to wait and see what the investigation ultimately shows in the Amtrak tragedy. But the fact of the matter is, there's no denying that these rail lines are old. These train cars are old. Everything is old, and there are some serious questions about safety. And what Congress needs to do is pass a long-term, adequately funded transportation bill, and let's fix everything. Not only our rail systems, but our roads and our bridges. You know, in Massachusetts, we have bridges that are older than most of the other states in this country, and all these reports that come out over and over and over again that tell us how deficient our infrastructure is, and yet we're in Congress and we can't even get the Committee of Jurisdiction to report out a transportation bill. And the only way to fix this is to invest in it, and we need to do that.
Do you think that the Republicans who oppose this, after all, it is their House right now, and they're right in charge, and you can't get a bill out of the Transportation Committee, which suggests maybe they don't want one out, don't they hear about lousy roads? Don't they hear about lousy bridges?
Well, they do, and they say things like, well, let's privatize this and privatize that, or we need better management, and, you know the usual kind of double talk. But here's the deal. The problem is that, you know, you have a lot of these Republicans who have signed petitions, you know, when they were running for office, saying that they would not ever vote to raise any new revenues. And as a result, they're kind of in a box. You cannot embark on a major improvement of our infrastructure without finding additional revenues. You cannot cut the discretionary budget any more than it already has been cut, because, quite frankly, they came and passed their own appropriations bills because the levels on discretionary spending have been cut so much. So, you know, you get these people who made these promises that, you know, I can't raise the gas tax, or I can't raise this or that, or I can't close a tax loophole, or I can't, you know, eliminate provisions that allow companies to move overseas and not pay taxes. And as a result of that, we're kind of at a standstill.
Okay, so let's assume, Jim McGovern, that you're right, they promised. So there's only one other way, and that is, if you can't find the money to repair the bridges and the roads, then you have to take it from some other place. Now, we're still in a war economy in this country.
Right.
And what is it about their pledge that doesn't permit them to take some money out of putting money into something we really don't need?
Right. Well, look, as you know, for a long, long time, I've been advocating that we need to find a way to get out of these wars that we're in. We've spent trillions of dollars. Let me put it this way. We've borrowed trillions of dollars because we don't even pay for it. We just put it on our credit card. But it would seem to me that investing in our infrastructure is better for our national defense than, you know, dropping all these bombs and deploying our troops all over the world the way we're doing right now. I mean, this is a real need. I saw a report the other day that of the 25 most best airports in the world, none of them are in the United States, in part because other countries have invested more in their infrastructure than we have. And, you know, we used to be number one in everything, and I think we ought to get back to that view, where we ought to have the best airports, the best railway system, the best roads, the best and most safe bridges, you know, anywhere in this world. And I will tell you, I think, and what I've found is that if people know where these additional revenues are being invested, if they know, for example, that if you raise the gas tax, or if you, you know, find a close a loophole, and that money goes right into transportation infrastructure, can't go into the general fund, only can be spent on that, I found that, you know, there's bipartisan consensus outside of the Beltway that that's a good idea. Everybody gets it. Unfortunately, Congress is kind of lagging behind.
I want to talk to you about something you just mentioned, our troops all over the world. I got a letter recently from somebody who said, our big problem was that we got out of Iraq. We should never have gotten out. That is what's caused this ISIS crisis. It just left me completely nonplussed. I wonder what you think.
Well, look, we should never have gone to war in Iraq to begin with. Right. I mean, it is the toppling of the terrible government of Iraq, and it was a terrible government, but there are a lot of terrible governments around the world. By getting rid of that government, we put in place another government that turned out to be very brutal and corrupt, and their leadership, their exclusion of certain groups, resulted in a vacuum in which ISIS was able to come in. This idea that if we only kept 100,000 troops there, we wouldn't be dealing with ISIS. I don't believe that. But number one, number two, I mean, what's the deal? We're going to keep 100,000 troops in Iraq for the for infinity? I mean, look, I mean, we have to have an honest discussion about how we protect ourselves and how we protect our interests around the world. And maybe, just maybe, the answer is not always dropping a bomb or expanding our military footprint. I mean, the solution in Iraq and the solution in Afghanistan and the solution in Syria is that the various groups of people in those countries have to learn how to get along with each other. It's that simple. And, getting involved in these wars only further polarizes the situation and makes it more difficult to have a political settlement. But that's the key. I mean, the Sunnis and Shiites have to get along with each other. I mean, and that means that who's ever in government has to treat the other with respect and understand that there are differences of opinion, but until we get to that point, they're going to be battling with each other forever. And so rather than getting in once again and expanding our military footprint, we're arming everybody over there, even people that we don't even know if they're any good. And it's kind of, I've seen this movie before. I mean, look, what people should be asking themselves is that we have invested a lot of money in the Iraqi armed forces. They have the best weapons that we can give them, and yet what we are learning over and over again, just recently with the ISIS invasion of Ramadi, is that the Iraqi armed forces basically shed their uniforms and hand over their weapons and walk away. If they're not willing to fight, what the hell are we doing over there fighting and putting our men and women's lives at risk?
It's an awful quagmire, and it seems to me a bad error in the beginning is what you're saying.
It's a bad error in the beginning.
And that has created this chaos.
And here's what makes it even more frustrating, is that the United States Congress refuses to debate the issue and refuses to even vote on whether or not to authorize what we're doing. And I had a number of amendments to the defense bill, trying to force Congress to at least begin to debate these policies. My amendment and all the other amendments around an AUMF, around whether or not Congress should authorize any of these military deployments, all of them were ruled out of order by the Rules Committee. The Republicans decided they didn't want to have that debate. And the chairman of the Armed Services Committee said to me, this is not the place to have the debate on the war. The place where you fund the war is not the place you're supposed to have the debate on the war. Then where the heck are we supposed to have this debate? But Congressman Walter Jones, a Republican from North Carolina, and I intend to introduce a privilege resolution under the War Powers Resolution, which would force a vote on what we're doing right now in Iraq and Syria. And unfortunately, when you do a privilege resolution, you have to. It's not very elegant. It's like either all in or all out. But nonetheless, our hope is that if we could force this debate and this vote, that maybe it might force the committees of jurisdiction to do their job. Look, the president submitted a proposal for Syria and Iraq. I think it's too big. I would vote against it. But he did his job. It's now time for Congress to live up to its constitutional responsibilities and do its job. War is a big deal. And here in Congress, we have this attitude where, we don't want to talk about it, we don't want to vote on it, because if it goes well, we can say we're for it. If it goes bad, we can say we were against it. But no one could ever pin us down, because we're never going to have a vote that puts us on the record.
Jim McGovern, always great to talk to you. So good to know that you're there. So thank.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. So when we come back the next time, I want to ask you about immigration reform.
Terrific.